Whoa, I'm reading on the internet. Teams might be moving down. They might be looking to trade up. But whatever happens, they're going to find the guy that they've been targeting all along. And they'll be surprised that he's still available. Welcome to draft week.
No.
There's so much drama. Some of it's manufactured, but we watch.
Sometimes you say crazy things.
And both of you guys will watch as Bears fans as we welcome in Sam McCune of the Omaha World Herald. You fired up for Caleb Williams to be announced as your new quarterback on Thursday night in Detroit?
Yeah, I am. You know, I think it's going to be a new era. It's an opportunity for Chicago to maybe have a quarterback that's really talented for the first time in a while. And there's an opportunity, too, to manipulate that second pick either into a receiver who, you know, could be a Pro Bowler or, you know, if somebody wants to move up and do something interesting at quarterback that has not yet been unveiled, you know, an opportunity to parlay that into a couple of picks. It's really going to be interesting. Obviously, Caleb Williams is going first. Sounds like Jaden Daniels is going next. And then you've got Drake May. And then does somebody want to move up, you know, and try to do something inside the top 10 for another one? And I don't know. I think that's going to be probably part of the fun part of draft night is figuring out which quarterback, you know, sneak into that top 10, whether it's McCarthy or Penix. I've heard Bo Nix is not going to be a first-round pick, so I don't know. I haven't followed that part of it as closely as the other five guys.
So let's stick with the Nebraska part of the NFL draft, which back in the day when the draft was about a week earlier or 2 weeks earlier, Nebraska seemed like they always planned their Saturday game of the draft. It wasn't when it was 3 days, so it was really kind of cool to have the current Nebraska team playing and then guys getting drafted. So there will be the Luke Reimers, the Newsoms, the Browns will be sitting at home on that Saturday going, am I going to get the call? Help me figure this out when it pertains to the draft. With the caveat that Georgia had a monster number, Michigan could have 15 guys drafted this year, and I'm including this year's draft in this total. Last six drafts, there is a real possibility two of those years Nebraska will not have anybody drafted. They've had nine players drafted since 2019. Only two of them have gone on day two. The rest have gone on day three. But of the nine that got drafted, Sam, they all are on active rosters right now. And there are a couple of free agents that are on active rosters. So how do we sift through Nebraska's draft history in the last 5 years?
Nebraska's probably producing a few more draft quality players than NFL teams are recognizing. I think that's one thing.
Do you think that's a component of winning? They're not winning enough so you don't get noticed?
I think it's a component of winning. I think it's a component of constantly switching systems. I think it's a component of, I don't know how much of a NFL-style offense Scott Frost was running. And I think that the defense that Nebraska is running right now is not what I would necessarily call, like, specifically NFL-style. There may be some of that. Some of it is guys don't get invited to the combine. Some of it's not great 40 times. Some of it's the fact that, you know, recruiting. You know, Nebraska's recruited some four-star kids who didn't pan out and left. They didn't develop those guys. And some of the guys that have panned out are either walk-ons or, you know, low three stars that, you know, if you look at the draft guys, and I always look at the Athletic, and it's really, really good, they go through the whole thing. They go all the way back to their high school days, and they give you the dossier on their history and all those things. Like, a lot of times NFL teams are defaulting to some teaching points or some evaluation points that might be surprising to people. They're looking for traits, sometimes more than production. But Nebraska has done better in terms of, yes, you're right, all these guys are on active rosters. All these guys are good players. I'd be surprised if Nebraska gets a draft pick this weekend, but you never know. I mean, maybe one, maybe two. Late round, after the spring game, during the spring game, we'll see what happens.
speaking of the defensive side of it, you think about this program getting to where it wants to be in year two under Tony White. You've got some guys there on the defensive line that project. You've got young players that project. Sam, if this defense moves forward and is able to sustain what we already saw from a year ago, and then we get into the NFL draft conversation, you mentioned the system. Which position group do you think could ultimately benefit from this system when it does come to your NFL draft stock?
I think the defensive line could benefit, and I think next year you'll see the defensive line produce at least one, perhaps two NFL draft picks. I think because you have an opportunity to kind of play up and down the line a little bit. Nash Huntmaker obviously has just primarily been a nose, but you know everybody can kind of do a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. You're getting an audition, a debut at a bunch of different positions, and I think that's probably helpful. The system that Nebraska wants to run, as it affects linebackers, certainly. You know, if you get guys that can really rush the passer off the edge, all the better. All the better. You know, so it'll produce a good jack linebacker. But those interior guys can, in theory, be a little bit smaller. They can be. You know, they can roam a little bit. So you know, we'll see how that pans out. And, of course, you know, your corners are corners. If you have great corners, you have great corners. People can look at the corner draft board and they're going to see guys from Toledo and other schools. Like, you don't always know going into college who's going to produce a great corner. And, like, a lot of times it's about traits that are then developed. Why Hill may have those traits. I mean, he went to St. Francis, PA. And good chance he's going to be a starter this year. And he's 6'3 and 185. Not many corners that size. That's an asset, you know. Hard to throw deep on a guy that's 6'3". Really hard. You know, you can get him in short areas a little bit, especially if they're playing off the ball. Maybe you can shake a 6'3" corner. Hard to throw over that guy. Hard to get deep balls on that height. So, you know, I think Nebraska will do better in subsequent years in the NFL draft. I think this year it could be just one or two, or maybe not.
Hey, isn't it wild that in a short amount of time, you brought up Bly Hill's height, that they're going to shift to, man, we might see a run of cornerbacks at Nebraska or even safeties that are 6'2", 6'3", or taller. That flipped pretty quick.
It did. And, you know, again, there's lots of great qualities about having guys across the line that are like that. Alabama is able to do that. Few other defenses too. There's incredible advantages if you have the right talent at all those positions, and you know it relates to not really playing radius, but it's hard to throw over it. You know, if a guy is a step behind his stride and his bail, you know, if he's got good technique, you know, his arms are getting in the way of deep passes a little bit more often. It's not foolproof. I mean, Tyreek Hill can run past anybody, but yeah, that's helpful for sure. I think. You know, I think Mario Buford's going to be in the mix for 3 or 4 years. He's 6 foot, 5'11". So, you know, great corners are also that height, too. The safety spot, you know, you're going to have some taller guys eventually. I think Marquise Buford and Malcolm Hartsog are going to play as well. You can kind of do that a couple of different ways. Like, there's actually some, in theory, advantage to being a little bit smaller corner against the big receiver if you're physical. You can get inside there. You know, and the pads and you know, be real physical at the line of scrimmage. And then you're often a little tougher in those short areas because you're able to burst faster. But I mean, who doesn't like a 6'2" corner? That's just an incredible advantage if you're able to get that guy to break on ball, you know, short passes, and he can come inside. Lamar Jackson got there, I think, for Nebraska late in his career. Prince Amukamara was 6'2", 6'1". And almost impossible to go against his senior year. He just really couldn't. You really couldn't do much, and he was really physical too. And so I'm sure that's what they're hoping for from Bly Hill.
Hey, a good conversation that you were having, and during Matt Rhule's media availability over the weekend, and it got into the third down element, especially with defense. There was something that you brought up in your write up just recently that I wanted to get your overall takeaway, and that is not just third down conversion rate, but opponents throwing 70 third down passes a year ago and completing basically 59% of them. And then 23 of those being converted into first downs. Compared to Michigan, that was allowing 17.6%. Michigan aside, what did that tell you about Nebraska's defense this year and the personnel they have this year? Last year, I should say, their defense last year and the personnel they have this year to try to correct that.
I think they're trying to improve their four-man pass rush. And, you know, so what does that look like on the interior? Who comes in on third down? Let's say, in theory, you've got it siloed so that when you get to third and eight, and I didn't get into this with Rule, and maybe he wouldn't have said this, but, you know, usually when you're in third and eight, third and nine, third and ten, they're going to have to make personnel switches. So, in theory, you can get the guys you want on the field for third and nine because the offense is doing something. What is that four-man personnel? I could guess at it. You know, maybe it's Jamari Butler, James Williams, who I think is probably pretty good. Elijah Judy is a good interior pass rusher, and then maybe you got a fourth guy. What are those guys on third down? They have a pass rush package. They used that at times last season. I think that'd be probably something to watch a little bit. Better four-man pass rush. And then when you're in, you know, third and short and medium, can your corners, quite frankly, lock guys up in man coverage? Not just your corners either, not just your outside corners, but your slot corners too. A lot of times it's very hard on third and four for your outside receivers to make, hey, let's just Marvin Harrison, you know, and you're clearing him out and he's coming inside, he's got a big frame and all that. A lot of times you're working with your tight end and you're working with that inside guy, your slot receiver. On occasion you're running those rub routes where the outside guys come through. Ohio State, again, does a lot of that because they have great receivers. So is your slot corner and is your coverage linebacker, are both those guys able to make plays and body up the slot receivers and the tight ends? That, you know, those are all things that they've got to work on and get better at. I thought they were pretty good at some of those things last year, to be clear. But on third and long, they did struggle. And there were things as the season went on that teams were able to figure out a little bit against Nebraska. You know, maybe you have a tight end leak on second and long or third and long, and they struggled to cover that guy. And quite frankly, they struggled to cover that guy for 5 years. And so on a wheel route or a leak route or any of those things, they started to figure those things out a little bit. And then they started to figure out option routes against slot corners. You know, in the Wisconsin game, Buford was the guy that was down and covering, and he was just coming back from an injury. And, you know, that's just not an easy cover. It's just a hard cover when you're in space and things like that. So all those things are true. If you go back and look at the Great Bow defenses, it had what was called a match zone, kind of a matchup zone. And it was, you know, it was sort of a zone behind. When you went deep, it was a zone. But underneath, it was all man, and they would switch all the coverages like they were going into a zone, and they pick it up man. And he had all the guys. He had Gomes and he had Haig and he had Will Compton, and he had great players who were able to kind of patrol everybody.
Yeah.
And then he had the best pass rush in the country with Sue and Pierre Allen and Jared Crick. And that, so if you ever want to go back and see how is this actually done, that's how it's done. That group will show you how it's supposed to work. But of course, you had a Pro Football Hall of Famer, and then you had, you know, multiple Pro Bowlers. I think Prince was a Pro Bowler, but you had multiple NFL players in that defense, and that's hard to yeah, replicate if you don't have the players.
And what do your ears and eyes tell you this spring on what the offensive line has done to take that next step?
Well, there's two things. I think, one, their life's going to be easier because they got a quarterback that's gonna stay in a box, and they have more to expect. You know, they can expect more from a quarterback. You know, you cannot underrate the you know, when your back's turned to the guy that you're protecting, and you don't know what he's doing, it can be hard. A sack can look like it's on you when really the guy shouldn't have bailed the pocket, and he did. And so I think one of the advantages they're going to have is they know Dylan Raiola, who's probably going to be your starter, is going to stay in there. That's what Dylan Raiola wants to do. And if Raiola gets out, he's going to get out in a predictable way. You know, he's going to be flushed from the middle, and he's going to move outward. It's not going to be a guy just running outside to run outside. Chubba Purdy, for example, did that quite a bit in that Iowa game where he's just kind of running, and you're not really sure where he's going because he didn't need to leave the pocket he was in. The second thing that I think you're going to see is, you know, it's an older group, and I think it's probably going to be a group that can pick up a lot of the junk and traffic that you're going to see from defenses. I don't know that it's going to be a bulldozer group that's just going to blow everybody off the ball. But I do think it's going to be more athletic, and I think you'll be able to run some screen stuff. You know, get guys out on a screen and run a little bit and maybe wall some guys off. And I love a good screen, you know. Best thing about the Bill Callahan era. I love a good screen because you can take the edge off that pass rush. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one or two of those a game, and it's almost like you're making everything else better. And I think they'll get a little bit better at that play.
I know running back is always going to be a conversation. And just last Saturday, I don't know how surprised you were, maybe none of us should be, that in a year where they were able to pick up Dante Dowdell, and rightfully so, a lot of people were excited about that, we're still talking about Emmett Johnson going into the final week of spring. What does that tell you about Emmett Johnson? But maybe more importantly, what does it tell you about the running back room?
I think they like the versatility of Emmett Johnson. I think they like what he's able to do. Play to play. At the same time, they want to be able to roll more than one guy out there. I think their hope is that they've got options to three down options beyond Emmett. And Rule kind of got into it a little bit where he's like, you know, in our protection system, you have to do this and you have to do this. I think what he's saying there is, you know, we need backs that are, again, I use this phrase a lot with the Fred Hoiberg. You need a back that's maybe at least 200 level off, you know, and like if you're going to play for Fred Hoiberg, you can't be a 100 level player because he's just too smart. And the offense they run is, while, you know, intuitive, it requires some knowledge of the game. And so you have to learn it. I think it's the same with Nebraska's offense or what they want to do. You know, I don't think you could just roll out there and, hey, I'm going to run or I'm going to not run. Like, there's some complexity to it. And I think Emmett Johnson has picked that up. And I assume he's trying to keep her.
That was the wrong time for him to crap out. Man, cell service in Crime Town is brutal.
And training.
Oh, there we go.
Understanding it to execution.
I think you were cutting out there. Hey, we appreciate it as always. We'll see you a couple times this week, and of course on Saturday. Give me an off the radar name that you think we'll be talking about on Saturday.
That's always fun. Well, I mean,
pull out that roster.
I got to make sure the guys are all healthy. I think Ja'Cory Barney's probably going to do something good in the spring game, and maybe that's a name that people aren't familiar with because he just got here. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you know, DeAndre Barnes, Jeremiah Charles, some of the young corners, Mario Buford, who, you know, is probably a year away, but I think he's going to be a good player. They kind of blew the top on Bly Hill, so I can't name him. But, they've got some good young skill players that I think will show up.
We'll see you on Saturday.
Take care.
It's Sam McEwen of the World Herald. I'm going to be nerdy on Saturday.
Oh,
because I think
short sleeve shirt and a tie.
Yeah.
Pen protector?
Yes.
The pocket protector?
And I'll be going door to door to ask for money.
In the press box, which would be really weird.
So you're saying Jehovah's Witnesses are nerds too, is what you're saying?
I don't know, man. I made a mistake when I was a little kid.
You answered the door.
And I let them in.
Never.
And they were just sitting in our living room. And like, I had to go get my mom to go, hey, there's a couple of guys here that would like to talk to you.
Didn't you let someone in on a garage sale too?
Yeah, they use our bathroom, and then they started wandering around our house, and they treated like the interior of our house like the garage sale.
Oh,
what's this? I mean, a wedding picture.
See, these
that's
plates in the cabinet.
That's
are,
what's right. Like I talked to everybody. No, nobody's a stranger. I just didn't get that. Why we're two, you know, like little college age kids
price
at our
friendly
door that would like, hey, we'd like to come in and talk to you.
Yeah, and they seem friendly.
And I'm like,
sure, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I'd like to talk to you.
Are your parents home? And I'm like, I think so. I'll be back. You guys can just sit right there.
Hold on, Mr. Ice Cream Man.
I just remember like they sat like next to each other, like hip to hip.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Like, can't have one without the other.
Like older Gary would have been, man, this is creepy.
But
younger Gary, Gary's like, wow, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, young and quizzical.
Do you guys want to play?
Exploring
also,
Gary.
Now, to be fair, they also were riding like cool bikes.
Oh,
and I'm like,
yeah.
That's a cool bike. Because that's how it started. I'm like, hey, that's a cool bike.
Yeah. Oh, and then they knew they had an in.
Yeah.
Would like you like to know more about the bike? And
what is it? It's like Terminator 2.
How the Church of Jesus Latter-day Saints can help you get a bike like
that's
that.
That's a nice bike.
Before people judge the parenting of the Sharps, I never got into a van looking for candy.
That's good.
So I knew my limits.
Okay, good.
But I'm going to be nerdy here. So I don't think a lot of vets will play this weekend, and that's okay.
That's good.
Yeah, it's not serious football.
Put them on mothballs.
To some it is, but you know, at the end of the day, we're there to have a family reunion, see a little football.
And you had 14 practices already.
To see if the recent developments of Bonner are real, mm-hmm, and offensive tackle depth that they maybe for the first time in about 3 years around here has been openly talked about trying to develop. Instead of just trying to piece together the offensive tackle position with about three guys to play two spots, they may have actually gone through a spring where guys have gotten enough reps that they can possibly trust them when they get to the fall. So look for Bonner and the offensive tackle guys, especially like a Bricks, who is a bit of ways. But it was great that he was here in the spring.
The Bonner news.
Non-serious football takes.
Yeah, I think the Bonner one, when we saw him a year ago, and did he not have the first reception?
He's playing fullback.
Yeah, he was in that hybrid role, and we thought we were going to see him in, you know, tight end, fullback, and then, of course, what he was recruited to be. Now people kind of forget about that, as they forgot about him last year. And guy's got some size. And if he's making some strides back at the wide receiver position, obviously that only strengthens it. So, yeah, that's a good call on certain players to watch that are all of a sudden back on the radar right there, too.
And no complaining if the game is boring.
Boring's fine.
Seems to be going pretty quick.
We should want boring.
Yeah, boring's good.
You know what boring means? Wow, they look good. Yeah, everybody's healthy. Can't wait for the opener. High five.
Get it in and out, then get to the baseball game.
Nebraska is just being Nebraska. They're like everybody else in college football. They're treating the spring game as load management.
Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's fine for some people.
Embrace the boring.
You should do spring football big red overreaction. And a person that says, hey, man, I paid $15 for my ticket, and I got Tom, Dick, and Harry playing, and I have no idea what's going on. I want some real football. I want some heads cracking. I want some ACLs exploding. Okay? I want that.
Tough guys.
Look, we ripped out the AstroTurf.
Sorry, you're getting football.
Yeah.
Okay?
We need to bring the toughness back into it.
I want guys having their heads popped off. I want the ones versus the ones. I want them going at each other, and I want them swinging helmets at each other before the end of the day.
Well, like any given Sunday, I want eyeballs on the field.
Well, grab yourself a VHS tape of the 90s spring game, you can get that.
Yeah.
So just you have to have expectations, but they raise the ticket prices, and the $25 ticket holder goes, at least give me something. Can we at least kick a field goal?
Ooh.
Alvano, get out there.
Yeah. Skills competition, you could do something.
Catch a football,
like that.
Take home a player.
Hell, the cat year with Bo, they did.
They
did the throwing the football, the crossbar.
Didn't Searles get engaged? They did. Linemen catching punts.
Yep. Yeah. So, they did some fun things, kept you entertained, played a little bit of football on top of it as well.
I see your marketing brain. So now, next, you got to do a wedding.
Well,
an engagement.
Wasn't that when Jeff Jamrog was your on field MC and he was giving everyone's Twitter handles? All the players, they knew the audience. They had a younger audience on top of the older audience.
I once got scorned on my own show because I said, you know what, this is the way this thing is going. Watch this, just play 7-on-7. And, of course, the old heads who, you know, spring was game 12 of our season. We hate the red. We hate white. They're like, that's the stupidest idea. And I'm like, that's where we're going.
Yeah, well, here we are.
Lane Kiffin is my friend. Also, Morgan Wallen's friend walked him out in his concert at Ole Miss the other day, but would not wear a Peyton Manning jersey.
Yeah, he's got principles.
Morgan Wallen tried to troll him. He's like, hey, man, you remember you coached at Tennessee?
Lane responded, hey, remember you were arrested in Tennessee?
Whoa.
Clap back.
Back to football. Remember, we used to have varsity versus alumni games.
Yeah.
All right. So, mornings with Sharp and Hanley and Jimmy. 1620, The Zone. Hey,